E-A-L.
Responsible eating, responsible eating, responsible eating and living.
Hello, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to another episode of Ask a Vegan. It is July 22nd, 2012, and I think we have a fun show for you today. I always want to remind you that there's so much information to access at our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com. Lots of great recipes, videos, and information for new ideas or just helping people transition to a healthy diet. And of course, please, anytime you have a thought, a comment, or question about transitioning to a healthy diet, going vegan, send me an email, please. I love to hear from you. info@realmeals.org. Great. So let's get into the first part of the program. I have a special guest, and I'm going to bring him on right now. Josh DeMattei is with me here in San Jose, California. Josh, first tell me, how old are you?
I'm 13.
13! Wow. And this September, you'll be going into what grade?
Eighth
grade. And I recently heard that you were elected as the vice president of the student body, the student council?
Yes, I'm vice president.
Very good.
My school.
So you have some leadership potential, you want to make change or do good things. Is that it?
That is very true.
Okay. Great. Well, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because this show is called Ask a Vegan. Now, I'm the vegan, then I'm going to ask you, and you're not a vegan, and that's okay. Do you know any kids in school who are vegetarian or vegan?
Yes, I know a couple that were in my brother's class that are now graduating.
Yeah.
They were very overweight, so they went on a diet to be vegetarian.
Did it help them?
Yes, they lost a lot of weight.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's one good reason to be on a vegetarian or a vegan diet. One of the things that I like about my diet is that I eat whatever I want, when I want, and I maintain my weight. It's pretty easy. A lot of people have problems with their weight today. Do you think it's weird to be vegetarian?
I don't think it's weird.
You could be honest with me.
Well, I just think that it'd be okay to have maybe a little slice of meat once in a while. But I think most of the time it'd be more healthy for you to eat greens and vegetables.
You know they're good for you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so why would you want to have meat sometimes?
I think because it tastes very well.
You like the way it tastes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, do some of the kids in your class ever talk about vegetarians? Do they think it's a strange thing to do?
Well,
be vegetarian?
I sometimes talk to them about you, and I say, like, my uncle's girlfriend is a vegan, and they say, oh, yeah, my mom's a vegan. Or
oh, okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they get older, decide or figure out that they need to eat better, because when you're young, you don't really think about getting sick or hurting yourself or getting old, but then it happens. It happens to the best of us. And then a lot of times when you haven't been good to your body, when you haven't been feeding your body well, it starts to fall apart. People get pain in their knees and their joints. They get headaches. All kinds of things happen. And some people discover that they can get better by just eating different foods. It's magical. Okay, so let me ask you, do you know where your food comes from?
I do. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I remember a long time ago, we used to learn about, old MacDonald and his farm, right? And we would see the little animals on the farm or maybe visit an actual farm where vegetables were being grown. But people's food really goes through so much and nobody really knows what's going on with our food today. So let's just talk about that for a minute. What's some of your favorite dishes?
I love New York steak.
You love New York steak. What does that mean, New York steak? Do you know what it is, why it's called New York? I don't.
Maybe because it's from New York.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I would guess. I don't even know. I haven't had any kind of meat in a very long time. But let's say the animal does come from New York. So most animals today, unfortunately, are grown on what are called factory farms. And it's different for cows and pigs and sheep and chickens and turkeys. How they're raised is all a little different. For some of the cows, they are allowed to graze for a certain amount of time, and they're called grass-fed. But many, unfortunately, are fed a mixture of soy and corn and alfalfa and a variety of other things that they shouldn't be eating. And they're confined in a dense area. And sometimes they're indoors. Sometimes they're out kind of like in a muddy area. I don't know if you've been out in like Central California. There's an area that some people call Cowschwitz. Because all of these cows are there and they're not in a very picturesque environment. They're just standing on a lot of dirt. And these animals are not really treated very well from birth until slaughter. And the slaughter is another very unpleasant situation. It's not just that they're killed. They go through this long process where they know it's going to happen. They get strung upside down because they have to get prepared to have their blood dripped out of them. And they're strung up either on one foot, and they try and stun the animal sometimes, but sometimes they're not effective. And it's really quite a long, unpleasant thing.
What is alfalfa?
Oh, that's a good question. So it's there are a number of different things that we grow to feed animals, and alfalfa is one of them. I'm used to something called alfalfa sprouts, and we've seen them in sandwiches, little sprouts sometimes in the store, alfalfa sprouts. They look like tiny little hairs with little green leaves on the top, but it's a plant. And it's something that's fed to the animals. And we grow a lot of it in this country, specifically to feed animals, to feed people. Most of the animals today are not living out on a sprawling green farm, mingling with all the other animals and being pretty happy until that one moment when the farmer decides it's time to make steak out of them. It's a long, very unfortunate process. Clearly, most people don't think about where their food comes from. Do you think if most people knew about where their food came from, they would choose differently?
I do. I think they'd think more about not eating any meat or more than just that. Not even eating cheese.
Yeah. I don't want to challenge you, and I don't want to scare you. I just want to have a conversation, and I really respect your ideas and your opinions, and I think you're really a very mature and intelligent young man. Because you're 13 now, so you really are a man.
Thank you.
So I enjoy having this conversation, and I don't want to intimidate you at all, but this is a very serious conversation. It's a very serious topic. For example, do you know the difference between vegetarian and vegan?
Yeah, vegetarians eat things from an animal. And vegans just eat fruits and vegetables. Yeah. Nothing from an animal or has anything to do with an animal.
Very good. You are smart. One thing that many people don't realize, including vegetarians, is that milk and cheese and ice cream that's made from cow's milk doesn't, people think it doesn't involve killing the animal. It doesn't involve any
torture.
Killing or torture. And unfortunately, guess what?
It does.
It does. So there's a cycle. In order for a cow to make milk, to have milk, what has to happen? Do you have any ideas?
You have to pull on its udder or on its whatever you
Well, let's think about your own mother or any other mother when she has a baby. She's able to nurse the baby and give the baby her milk.
Until the baby's grown.
Until the baby's weaned and grown, and then the mother's doesn't have any more milk anymore, dries up. Well, the same thing happens with a cow. So you have to make the cow pregnant, and the cow has to have a baby calf in order for it to have milk in its udders.
So you then have to kill the calf.
Right. Oh, you are so smart. So you either kill the calf and make veal, or you, if it's a little girl calf, you could save it and raise her so that she'll give more milk. But it's a constant process. So as soon as the cow gives birth, the farmer waits a little amount of time and then gets the cow pregnant again. And how does he do that? He's got a bull, a male cow, somewhere, and has some sort of setup to get that animal all excited and, you know, collects his sperm and then inseminates artificially different cows. Sometimes they get the animals in together and they do it naturally. Sometimes they inject the cow with the sperm. It's really, it's not a pleasant process, is it?
It is not a pleasant process.
Yeah, and then the cow has the baby, and the baby, you know, they love each other. They really do, and the cow is very sad when she's separated from her baby. So that's the story behind milk, and most people don't realize it. And when I talk about improving diet, I usually recommend it's better to give up milk products than give up meat products. Milk's just about the worst.
I think milk's worse because it hurts two animals instead of just one.
Yeah, that's about it. Now, I bet you probably like milk and cheese and things with milk in it.
I don't drink milk pure, but I drink things with milk, or I eat or drink things with milk in them.
Right. It's hard because milk's in so many different things.
It's hard. I didn't even think ice cream had milk in it.
You see? Because we don't think about it. Now, we should make some ice cream sometime. It's really easy to make. Most people make it with milk and heavy cream from a cow, but you can make ice cream from coconut milk. You can make it from soy milk and rice milk and cashew milk. And just add sugar and your favorite flavors, and it's
delicious.
Yummy.
Sounds good.
Okay, now this is a subject that you're really good about. Let's talk about sugar.
Yes.
Okay, now did you learn about sugar in school?
I did not.
How did you learn about whether sugar was good or bad for you?
I learned from it from you.
You did?
Yes.
I didn't know that. Well, you made a decision not too long ago, and what was that?
Not drinking soda because of the high fructose corn syrup in it.
I didn't know that you got that from me. Well, I'm patting myself on the back, and I'm patting you on the back. Okay, so was that hard to do?
It wasn't, because I love iced tea. Unsweetened.
Unsweetened. You have a very sophisticated palate. What do you think? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unsweetened iced tea. I love that, too.
Lemon tastes like sugar, so not squeeze a lemon in it.
Right. Well, you know, that's what I usually recommend to many people, because what we really need, we need to drink and we need to hydrate. Many people have different feelings of unwellness, different feelings like headaches, and they're tired, and what they really need to do is drink. They're dehydrated.
Water.
And just squeezing lemon or orange juice or lime, just a little flavor makes it delicious.
Yeah. That's true.
How much soda did you drink before?
Probably a can of Diet Coke a day.
Diet Coke?
Yes.
Oh, why were you drinking Diet Coke? You're not overweight.
I have no
anything.
Idea. Because I saw my dad drinking it, so I was like, oh, I'll drink it too.
Well, that's a whole nother story, because the artificial sweeteners in diet sodas are probably worse than sugar and high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not good. Water. You should get your dad to drink some iced tea with you.
I know.
Okay. So now you're drinking iced tea. That's pretty good. Do your friends know that you did this?
Yeah. Because every day I come to school when there's no... We have hot lunch system.
Do they serve diet soda at hot lunch?
No.
No, regular soda.
Yeah, but they have a lot of foods that are not healthy
at
hot lunch.
Right.
Which they think, oh, yeah, and you should get this and this and this because it's healthy, but it's not.
It's not. Okay, so what do you drink it?
So my mom, she brings me for lunch, a chicken avocado.
Okay.
Chicken. And then she brings me an unsweetened iced tea.
In a can? Something like that?
No, in a paper.
One of those boxes?
Yeah, kind of.
Right. Good. Well, you're lucky to have your mom who supports what you want to do.
Well, I ask for it.
So. Yeah. And I asked you before, do some of your friends think it's a nutty thing to do, not drinking soda?
They don't, because a lot of them don't even drink soda, because they know it's bad for sports and stuff.
Right.
To be drinking soda.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that some kids are getting some good information. That's really encouraging, because you know what? The future depends on you guys, and if you're not healthy, then I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
We need you to be smart and alert and feeling good. Because it's all going to be up to you. You're going to have to fix the big mess that we left you.
I do see that a lot of kids are overweight, so I don't know if that's a great thing to grow up to.
Yeah. Are some of your friends overweight, or you just see it in school?
None of my friends are overweight.
Because you all do a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all think alike.
Now, there are more kids now that are overweight than when I went to school.
Yes.
When I went to school, unfortunately, we often made fun of the kids who were overweight. Does that still happen?
Yeah.
Even though there were a lot more of them.
Yes.
Yeah, that's sad. Because it's not really their fault. And I want to say it's not really their fault, but it's up to each one of us as individuals to take responsibility for what we're eating, and they could all learn how to eat properly and lose weight.
Yeah,
like
true.
The friends of your brothers who decided to be vegetarian to lose weight, right?
That was smart. Except I did notice they overloaded on cheese, which still they take advantage of. Oh, I'm a vegetarian, so I'm going to eat whatever I want.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, and unfortunately, the mix of cheese and wheat products, especially refined wheat products, white flour for breads, cookies, cakes, pretzels, pasta, bread and pasta and cheese is really not a good mix. It's there are a lot of diseases where the risk is increased by eating a lot of bread, pasta, and cheese. And so a lot of people think that they're going to be healthier by being vegetarian. What they end up doing is eating pasta and cheese. What they really should be eating is
greens and vegetables.
Green vegetables, right. Like what?
Spinach.
Spinach is good.
Green beans.
Green beans are good.
What was that fruit that guy brought to our house yesterday?
The fruit. Oh, that was a canary melon or a cassava melon.
It was so good.
It was really good. I'm talking about the dark green leafy vegetables like kale.
Salad.
Salads, lettuce. All different kinds of salads.
Salads are my favorite.
Broccoli?
Broccoli. Broccolini. Broccolini.
Those really
are so good. Mm-hmm. Also, pesto.
Pesto's good because it has... What's the green vegetable in there?
Basil?
Basil! Very good. So basil, people don't think of it really as a green vegetable because it's an herb. But it's green, and it's a leaf, and that makes it A+ for green leafy vegetable.
And also your soup you make is very well with the broccoli.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. So you can find that recipe at responsibleeatingandliving.com because I posted it. And that's a soup with broccoli and coconut milk.
It is so good.
So good. Thank you. It wasn't that hard to make, was it?
It's not hard to make at all.
Right. Well, thank you, Josh. This was really fun talking to you. Do you have any questions for me as a vegan?
What made you want to become a vegan is it because of all the cruelty to the animals?
As you know, I was about 15 and it just dawned on me. I had never thought about it before. And it just dawned on me that what I was eating was made from animals that had been killed. Animals that when I saw them on the little farms looked very sweet and innocent. And I just thought, I'm not doing that anymore. Now, I didn't know anything about nutrition. I didn't know anything about healthy food. My parents were pretty nervous. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have a lot of access to nutrition like you do today. My mom just kept saying, have some cottage cheese. She was so concerned that I wasn't going to get protein. She wanted me to eat cottage cheese. I wasn't a vegan then, and I didn't know that dairy foods weren't really healthy. But, you know, I did the best I could. A lot of kids feel the same way. They don't want to hurt animals, but they also don't like to eat vegetables.
Oh.
And that's not good.
What did your friends think when you wanted, then you became a vegetarian?
You know, it was a long time ago. I don't remember very much. I remember having some heated conversations with adults in my family, aunts, uncles, brother-in-laws, and they often put me on the defensive, and I was really young, and it was hard to defend myself. It's a lot easier now because I'm doing it, number one, because I don't believe in hurting animals, but I also do it because I know it's the absolute healthiest way to eat, and it's also good for the environment. Do you know how raising animals affects the environment?
I do not. Is it because it uses up electricity, which then pollutes the earth?
That's you're very close, but there's a lot of things that go into raising animals before we slaughter them and eat them. We have to feed them, and we have to feed them for a long time. So we have to grow a lot of plant food to feed the animals. And if we were to just feed people directly with plants, we could feed a lot more people. So it's an inefficient process. And what I mean by that is usually we have to grow. People give an example that you could get about 10 pounds of wheat or a pound of beef for the same amount of work and time and area of land that you were going to grow plants on. So you could grow that amount of plants and feed it to animals and get a pound of beef, or you could get 10 pounds of plants. It's a rough number.
That's very interesting.
But you could feed a lot more people just with plants. And then there's all of the energy. So you were mentioning electricity, but it does take energy to grow plants for all the equipment, for the trucks, moving the plants around. Unfortunately, most of the plants today are not grown organically. They're grown industrially. And that means we add a lot of artificial fertilizers and pesticides and chemicals. And those things have to be manufactured
in companies.
So there's a lot of different products that are added to the fields to grow the plants. It's really complicated. But when different people have done studies and they have determined that there's a lot of energy that goes into raising animals for food. And we could use a lot less if we were just raising plants, preferably organically, to feed people.
And you were saying earlier that when my uncle, he hurt his toe,
mm-hmm.
he stubbed it and it was all black and blue. And you said that the healing process becomes better when you're a vegan.
Yeah, I've heard that and I've read it. And there's a phenomenal athlete. Maybe when you have time, you can read one of his books. He's Canadian and he's run ultramarathons. He's amazing. A god. His name is Brendan Brazier and he's a very, very nice man. And he's talked about, I guess because it's so much easier on the digestive system to digest plants that it leaves a lot of time and energy left over for the body to do other things. And when you eat meat and dairy, it takes a lot of effort for the body to digest. And so as an athlete working out, you break down the muscles, right? And then they have to heal. And then they come back even stronger. And that's how you build muscle. So in that time between exercise and healing, if the body's busy doing other things, it takes a longer time to heal.
Oh.
And if the body can quickly digest food and get the nutrients you need right to the source, you heal faster.
That's very interesting.
It's simple. It's kind of simple logic. Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you one more thing, and I forgot what it was. Let's see if I can remember.
Well, while you're thinking.
Yes.
I've heard that salt is not very good.
Yeah.
And that is vegan.
There's a lot of foods that are vegan that aren't healthy. So you could be vegan and drink Coca-Cola and eat French fries and potato chips. Is that a healthy diet?
It's not.
No,
but you're a healthy vegan.
But it's vegan. So I like to promote a healthy vegan diet. And there are different studies on salt. Some people say that we need to add salt to our foods. Some people say we don't. I'm a believer that salt is not necessary because we get what we need from our food. In table salt, the salt that you shake on food, it's mostly made up of something called sodium chloride. Have you heard of that?
Is that like minerals?
Mm-hmm. And so we get minerals from food. Celery is a great place to get minerals. And we need other minerals in addition to sodium. There's others like potassium and calcium. And we get these from food, and we get plenty of sodium from carrots and tomatoes, and we get all that we need. We don't need to add. But the problem is salt makes food taste. It brings out the flavor in food. And if you're using, for example, a restaurant's going to want to save as much money as it can so it can make a lot of money, and it may not buy the best quality food, or the food might not be as fresh. And so they add salt. It makes it taste better.
Oh.
In manufacturing, all kinds of different cakes and cookies and bars and gels and all the different foods that you're eating, sometimes they'll add products to it to give it a certain texture, but then the taste may not be very good. And so they'll add sugar, they'll add salt, they'll add fat, they'll add whatever it is to cover up some other flavors or make things taste good.
I've heard that salt makes your heart turn into a fist. Meaning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everything gets rigid and hard and not flexible.
Because the way my mom's father died, my grandpa, is because he pulled off to the side of the road and had a heart attack because of hardening of the arteries.
Right.
And he was a very unhealthy eater with a lot of salt on his food, and he'd always add it, and then he'd tell my mom and her sisters not to add salt.
Oh, okay.
And that is how he ended up dying.
Wow. Well, I'm sure it wasn't just salt.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't just
but salt probably didn't help.
There's probably a mixture of salt and meat, which caused disease, I'm sure, caused his heart to work harder, and his heart just gave out.
Right. Do you know what the number one killer is in the United States, what most people die of?
Is it cancer?
It's heart disease.
Oh.
Heart disease. So most people die from heart attacks, men and women. Over 600,000 people a year, and no one needs to die of a heart attack. Heart attacks are preventable. Whereas a lot of cancer, we don't know how to cure.
We don't know how we get it either.
There are some theories, and a lot of cancer is actually preventable, but some of them are mysterious. And then there are other diseases that are also big mysteries. But heart disease is not a mystery. Diabetes, not a mystery. No one in this country should have diabetes, and no one should die of a heart attack. What do you think of that?
I think that what you're saying should be, people should be listening to this and take it into consideration.
Yeah.
But why is it that it is, what could you do to prevent it?
Right. Well, it's all what you eat. You are what you eat. So you want to eat primarily plants. And of course, I would love everyone to be vegan, but I know that that's not going to happen. But people should be eating mostly vegetables. So when kids' parents tell them, eat your vegetables, the kids should eat their vegetables.
That's true.
It's very simple. Eat your vegetables.
And we were talking about earlier that if you eat meat, it's important to wash it down with vegetables so that, because vegetables are like a toothbrush and they clean your digestive tract.
Right, because plant foods have fiber, and meat doesn't have fiber in it. Yeah, you need to eat a lot of plant foods, and not very little sugar, not a lot of junk food, cookies, candies. I know you've been eating this a lot because your mom told me she started to do this, but what's a good snack?
Tofu.
Okay, that wasn't what I was thinking of. I was actually thinking of fresh fruit. Oh. But why not? Tofu could be a snack too.
Tofu scramble
is really good, isn't it?
Yes.
You can do so many things with tofu. But fresh fruit, here you are in Northern California, where there's so many great farms, groves, fruit trees. Fresh fruit is nature's candy. It is. And it keeps you hydrated. It's sweet. It's so much better, I think, than any candy out there. Fresh fruit. What do you think?
I think that's because fresh fruit's amazing. I like the taste of it.
Yeah.
The other day I went to Safeway and I randomly just picked up a watermelon and put it in our cart because I love cutting them and then I love eating them because the juice just like flies everywhere.
It's perfect. Yeah. Juicy, refreshing. I love fruit, fresh fruit. Gosh, I could just make everybody happy and healthy if they would just listen.
They should listen. I should too.
Okay, well, Josh, this has really been fun. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you very much, Karen Hartglass.
Okay. I really enjoyed that interview. I hope you did too. Okay, so moving on. I've been thinking a lot about Crohn's disease lately, and I wanted to just touch on the subject a little bit. I've had people from all over the globe recently tell me that they're in different stages of Crohn's disease. It's a real challenge, but I want people to know that aside from the conventional therapy of very strong antibiotics, which do not always work, and often you'll hear that doctors will say that this disease is incurable, I do know many people who have found relief and no longer have the symptoms of Crohn's disease or irritable bowel syndrome. So I thought I would take a moment and talk a little bit about that. To start with, this is an autoimmune disease where the colon is inflamed. The description is really unpleasant, where the colon can have open sores. People experience abdominal pain, vomiting, diarrhea, rectal bleeding, and weight loss. The treatment sometimes is so toxic that some people end up getting some sort of intestinal cancer as a result. But the great thing is that there are things that you can do. And of course, it does come down to food and a healthy diet. There's a product called VSL number 3. It's a very, very potent probiotic. And it's not recommended to use this product on your own. You should use it in conjunction with a doctor. But this product has really helped people with Crohn's disease in order to get the bowel filled with that healthy bacteria that's important for dealing with the food that we eat. The other part, of course, is a very excellent diet. And part of the problem with Crohn's disease is that patients are advised not to eat fiber or raw food. And this is really very difficult to digest when people have this kind of problem. And so what's recommended is to eat cooked vegetables or blended in salads. This way, you get the nutrition from the vegetables, and they're easier to digest. There's a lot of information on the subject, alternative treatment for Crohn's disease. And what I want people to know is if you do know anyone, friends, or family that have Crohn's disease, if you want to contact me at info@realmeals.org, I can lead you to lots of helpful information, doctors and articles that have great information that can lead you to wellness. The point is that there is hope. There's also a whipworm therapy. And this is, it's a little creepy talking about it, but there have been studies that show that a worm-like parasite that's used in conjunction with beneficial flora is more effective than medications without that cancer-causing toxicity. And I also have a number of articles on that. So if you're interested, please leave me an email at info@realmeals.org. There are many diseases out there that one can be diagnosed with. We do not have to rely on a single diagnosis from one doctor. Now, your doctor could be a very nice person and very knowledgeable, but no one person can know everything about everything. And if you're hit with an illness and the recommended procedure doesn't sound very appealing to you, there likely are alternatives. And personally, I would go the route that has the limited amount of side effects and the most promise. And if you can heal with diet, why not? One of the things is it's so much less expensive. The antibiotics that are used for Crohn's disease, I've heard things like $2,000 a month. Who can afford that? Certainly, if you have insurance, maybe you can afford some of it, but it's very expensive. And it's not just expensive monetarily, but it's an expensive cost to your body. There are things that can get you well. Let's move on to some summer great foods. So I am here in San Jose, California, and we've been doing a lot of shopping at Whole Foods, but there are ways to find food at any store that are healthy and inexpensive. And Whole Foods had an organic seeded watermelon for 69 cents a pound, and this is really reasonable. It's so rare to find seeded watermelon. It always boggles my mind that people have encourage farmers to find a way to make watermelon without seeds. What's wrong with spitting watermelon seeds? Well, apparently people prefer to get their watermelon already cut and all ready to eat, very quick and easy, and none of the fun and a lot less flavor. I have no problem with seeds, and you know, occasionally what's wrong with a seed spitting contest in the summertime? Why not? But what was most amazing about this watermelon was the taste. I have not tasted a watermelon like this in such a long time, and it's really hard to describe. It certainly was sweet, and I've had plenty of seedless watermelons that are sweet. But this sweetness had dimension to it. It was sort of like a sugar cane, cotton candy flavor. It was wow. That's all I can say. It was wow. And we devoured it very, very quickly. I was so excited to find it. But apparently only 16% of watermelons sold in grocery stores have seeds. And that's down quite a bit, about 42% since 2003. So the seedless watermelon really has taken over. But, you know, that's what people want. Unfortunately, it's not a genetically modified food. People might be confused about that, but it's just hybridized. It's a complicated process, and I can explain it without really understanding it myself. These hybrids have been grown in the United States since the middle of the 20th century. That's the mid-1900s or so. And that's when all the problems started, didn't it, after World War II? With our food supply, our food system. Breeders match the pollen from a diploid plant, one that contains 22 chromosomes per cell, okay? And they match it with the flower of a tetraploid plant, which contains 44 chromosomes per cell. And guess what? The result is a triploid with 33 chromosomes that is incapable of producing seeds. And this is called the mule of the watermelon world. And that's how we get the watermelons that are seedless. I know that we've benefited a lot in the plant world with hybridization. Corn on the cob would not be what it is today if it had not been hybridized. And so many plants have benefited from this process, but I like my seeds and I like flavor. So I vote for the seeded watermelon. Please bring it on. That's what I'm going to be buying. And I'm hoping that, like heirloom tomatoes, perhaps there'll be a watermelon comeback, even with different varieties of melons, because there are so many different kinds of melons that we should be experiencing them all. Isn't that what life is about? While we've been here in San Jose, we were invited to a party, and it was a pizza party, and I just want to talk about it because it was a great experience and really a great idea, especially for people that want to have a fun outdoor event and eat reasonably healthfully. So what these people did is they supplied the pizza dough, and it was primarily just a wheat flour with water and yeast. And everybody could make their own pizzas by putting their own toppings on. There was plain, very simple tomato sauce, fresh chopped basil, a big bowl of arugula, lovely Kalamata pitted olives, a fabulous roasted garlic that my partner Gary made because he's the king of roasting garlic. And it was marinated in an olive oil with Meyer lemon. And boy, I don't like to eat olive oil very often, but just at party times like this or celebrations, and this was exquisite. There were fresh tomatoes, pineapple, chopped green onions, and marinated artichokes. And there were probably a few other things that I'm not thinking of. Of course, there were some other items that are traditionally put on pizza that I didn't pay attention to. And that was the great thing about it. Everybody was happy. And then the pizzas were cooked in a lovely pizza oven. And of course, you don't have to have a pizza oven, but it certainly makes it that much nicer. You can use a regular oven to cook pizza. And we each had our own pizzas. And I brought a gluten-free pizza crust that my partner Gary already made for me. We have a recipe for it on our website. It's under the flatbread made from garbanzo bean flour. It is so simple, so easy, and if you're eating gluten-free for any reason at all, this is such a great way to go when you're having pizza. It's easier than making a wheat pizza dough because it doesn't need to rise and it doesn't need to be rolled or kneaded. You just make up this lovely little mixture of garbanzo flour, chickpea flour, and water. Add your herbs and spices. We use a lot of rosemary. And you just pour it in a pan on top of parchment paper, cook it for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and it's ready to go. That simple. Put on all your great toppings. It's a great food. It's summer food, backyard food. It's great any time. My favorite foods, watermelon and pizza. Well, maybe not my favorite foods, but definitely great for the summer. Thank you for joining me today on Ask a Vegan. Next week, I'll be broadcasting back in New York. And hopefully it won't be sweltering hot when I get there. Thanks for listening. And remember, responsibleeatingandliving.com. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we can only do what we do with contributions from listeners like you. So thanks so much for your support. You can go to our website, responsibleeatingandliving.com, and check the donate tab and help us out. Have a really great week.
R-E-A-L.
Responsible eating and living.
R-E-A-L.
inhabitant who needs sound advice on the right thing to do.
When it comes to good health,
we need facts that are true to choose what to eat and save the planet too. As responsible eating and living.
Are
you'll find the real tools for you.
Real.